So I want to welcome all of our Atlanta area churches, churches all over the state of Georgia, the whole country, and more of the world. People tune in from different time zones all over the world. We hear from, and it's like, it's amazing. It's like, yeah, but it's 6 a.m. And anyway, so we're so glad that you're joining us, and it's good to see all of you in the room with me today. In 2018, Sandra and I had the opportunity to do kind of a late anniversary trip, and we went with another couple to Switzerland, which was fun. And a few days into this trip, I got an email from this prominent theologian, and I had sent him my manuscript from my book, Irresistible, and it's a bit technical and a bit theological, and so I wanted a couple of super smart people to read it and tell me where it wasn't clear or, you know, I needed to work on stuff. So anyway, which I appreciated, because I asked for the feedback. So we're a few days into this trip, and he sends me an email with 84 comments. Not edits. Edits are easy. Comments like, what are you talking about? This needs to be clear. I think you contradict yourself. You know, I mean, like stuff that's going to take a good bit of work. And I thought I was kind of done. Anybody that's written a book, it is not a casual endeavor. It's like the homework assignment that never ends. So we're on this trip. I got these 84 edits. I have a deadline. And I'm like, you know, so we had part of our trip, we had purchased tickets for the Glacier Express. This is a trip through the Alps. It's known for its panoramic views. In fact, the way they market it is kind of cute. Here's the marketing for it. The Glacier Express, the slowest express train in the world, because it goes really slow, because it's a sightseeing thing, and you know, it's gonna be amazing. And I thought, hey, and it's like hours. I think it was like 6 hours, 7 hours this trip. I thought, this is the perfect time to work on my manuscript, you know? I mean, mountains are mountains. Snow is snow. I've seen mountains as snow, you know? So we're doing this trip, and it's just this cool train, and it's got these giant windows that go up so you can look up and out, you know? It's beautiful. But I'm like head buried in my laptop, and everybody else is doing like the fireworks response, you know? Ooh, ah, ooh. And I'd look up every once in a while, I go, wow, yeah. Anyway, so about 2 hours into this, I'm like, okay, what are you doing? I mean, you're missing the whole trip. You can do this some other time. So I closed my laptop, stuck it in my backpack, because come on, you know, there are some things that, you know, are just too good to miss. And if you miss them, you miss them. They're out. Now, you know, a trip through the Alps, there's another opportunity maybe to do that. So that's not the end of the world. But there are some things in life that when you miss them, you can't go back and recapture them. And there are seasons in life that if you miss that season in life, or if you miss what you're supposed to be focused on in that season of life, again, you can't go back and make up for it. So the point of all that is this: I don't want you to miss the things that you can't afford to miss, and I don't want you to miss the things that you'll look back on and wish you had not missed. So today is part two of our series, Too Good to Miss, and the subtitle is Too Small to Read, so we're gonna make it bigger so you can read it. The subtitle is Three Things You Can't Afford to Miss and How to Ensure You Won't. And last weekend, I focused on the second part of the subtitle, which is How to Ensure You Won't. And I made a case, and if you didn't hear last week's message, I hope you'll go back and listen or watch. Last week I made the case that we miss out on the things that we shouldn't miss out on because of three things. We miss out when we're deceived or when we're misled. Either we've misled ourselves or we've been misled or deceived by somebody else. We miss out when we're distracted, and specifically when we're distracted from ultimate by the immediate. I'm so caught up in the immediate, I miss the ultimate. You're so caught up in the immediate that you miss the ultimate. We get distracted. And the third reason we miss out in life is because we're disobedient. And so at the end of the message, I went kind of old school, talked about sin. You know, you may remember that, right? And the bottom line was simply this: if you're a Christian or if you're a Jesus follower and you ignore the teaching of Jesus, you're going to miss out on what you don't want to miss out on in this life. If you're not a Christian, if maybe you're from a different faith tradition, or you used to be a Christian, if you dismiss the teaching of Jesus, you're gonna miss out as well. And I'm not talking about heaven when you die, I'm talking about in this life. And again, you know, if you're not a Christian or you're not a person of faith, I have no authority, I have no business telling you how to live your life, but I would just say this to you, and hopefully you'll pay attention through the message. What I would say is this: here's my hunch, even though we've never met. If you had been following Jesus, if you had been a Jesus follower, not just a believer or a Christian, if you had been a Jesus follower in the season when you created your greatest regret, you may have avoided your greatest regret because of the teaching of Jesus, which leads us to the first of the three things that you can't afford to miss. Three things you can't afford to miss. And the first one, no surprise, is don't miss Jesus. Now, quick confession. I was gonna do this as the second thing you can't afford to miss. But the thing that I'm gonna do next week that I was gonna do this week is so challenging, I thought they may not come back after that one. So I went ahead and did this one first, even though it's a bit predictable, the preacher telling us we shouldn't miss Jesus. But here's why this is a big deal, and here's specifically what I'm talking about. I don't want you to miss Jesus unnecessarily. I'm not talking about church, I'm not talking about religion, I'm not even talking about faith. I don't want you to miss the person of and the teaching of Jesus unnecessarily. And people miss or dismiss Jesus unnecessarily all the time. And here's what I mean by that. If you're a Christian, a Jesus follower, and you're like, well, man, I am locked in. This sermon isn't for me. Life is coming for you, right? And life is coming for us. And all of us are gonna hit those bumps where we will be tempted to say, I'm out of the faith game, I'm out of the Jesus thing, I'm out of the church thing, it's not working, he didn't work for me, he hasn't come through for me. And you will be tempted, as we're gonna see in the next few minutes, potentially in your future, to dismiss Jesus because of something that really has nothing to do with Jesus. So I don't want you to dismiss Jesus in the future. And for those of you who have never dialed in or embraced the teaching of Jesus to begin with, I don't want you to spend the rest of your life missing it. So here's what I'm gonna do. I don't usually teach lists, you know, and points. I think that's just a different way of preaching than I normally do. But today, I wanna give you or address the five primary reasons that people miss or dismiss Jesus. And this is a list that I just compiled from my experience as a church leader and as a pastor. So if any one of these five things connect with you, maybe that's your cue to lean into your faith or to consider faith for the first time. Now, one last qualification. If you're not a Christian or you're not a Jesus follower currently, here's what I hope the application of this message is for you. I'll just tell you up front in case you lose interest or lose electricity. Here, my hope is that at the end of this message, you would be curious enough to pick up a Bible or download a Bible and read one of the accounts of the life of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Most people like to start with John or Matthew, but Luke opens up with this incredible historical declaration, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, that you would be curious enough not to read the whole Bible, but that you would be curious enough to say, okay, if I'm not supposed to miss Jesus, I should at least read one account of the life of Jesus. That would be my hope for you. And if you're a Christian and your faith has begun to wane and you have begun to drift, I would hope you would do the same thing. So real quick, first reason, number one reason that people, that I would encourage you not to miss Jesus, don't miss Jesus because of a church or a church leader, including our church and including me. Do not give up on Jesus because of a bad church experience. People do this all the time. And don't give up on Jesus because of the hypocrisy of a specific church leader. Now, as you would imagine, people leave our church or one of our churches all the time. And when we hear about it, we always follow up. And I've made so many of these phone calls, tell me what we did or what can we do different, you know. And part of my concern is, hey, if you're upset with us or we're not your style anymore, or I'll say to people, look, you've been listening to me preach for 10 years. You probably need another voice in your life. I'm not offended. I just wanna make sure you're not leaving the faith. I just wanna make sure you're not leaving Jesus, because a bad church experience or a church leader that, you know, kind of gives you the creeps or they do something weird, that's not a good reason to leave Jesus. So if you have to leave a church for a while or take a break from church, I understand that. I've heard those stories. But please don't leave Jesus. Please don't leave Jesus. Now, right now, I'm studying through the book of Matthew in my personal quiet time. And my personal Bible study is not sermon preparation, but every once in a while I run into something there that kind of fits here. And so while I was thinking through this series, I ran into this little piece of narrative in the Gospel of Matthew that is just, it's not why this is in the Gospel of Matthew, but I just thought it was a great illustration of what to do when you have a problem with a church leader and why you shouldn't leave Jesus over a church leader. So here's what was going on. Jesus and Peter and James and John had done a little excursion. They're coming down from a mountain. They're gonna rejoin the rest of the apostles, but a crowd has formed and there's some sort of disturbance going on. And Matthew, who was there, describes what happened. Here's what Matthew writes. He said, when they, Jesus, Peter, James, and John came down, there was a crowd and a man came up to Jesus and knelt before him and said, Lord, he recognizes, you know, has this respect for Jesus. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. My son has seizures and is suffering greatly. And this has been going on since childhood. We don't know how old the boy was. This has been going on since childhood. And the boy had hurt himself. And so this father, it is a full-time job for this father and his family to take care of this boy. And they've tried everything. They've gone to the temple probably. They've done everything they can. You know, the doctors can't help. And they're desperate. And so he says, please, please, please. And then he makes this comment. He said, and I brought my son to your disciples. They couldn't heal him. Your followers have failed me. So I'm out of here. And I just wanted to let you know. I made that part up. Okay. But this isn't a criticism. That's how you feel sometimes, right? When a church lets you down or a church leader lets you down or somebody you've had so much respect for and they do something crazy and they're out and you do have a couple rounds of that, it's like you're out. It's like, wait, if that's how these people are, if that's what's going on here, I'm out. And it's tempting to leave Jesus because of Jesus followers, because of church leaders, and sometimes because of churches. But I love this little account because of what happens next. Jesus' representatives disappointed this dad. But he did not give up on Jesus. He gave up on the disciples, but he didn't give up on Jesus. Do you know what he did? He waited for Jesus. He looked for Jesus. And I hope you'll keep looking for him too. Jesus says to the dad, bring the boy to me. And then Jesus healed him. So here's the point. Please don't miss Jesus. And please don't dismiss Jesus because of a church or a church leader. In other words, please don't allow someone else's hypocrisy, someone else's politics, someone else's ignorance, immaturity, or insecurity to get between you and your Savior. You don't have to do that. It's not worth it. Reason number two. Don't miss Jesus because of something disturbing you've been taught about Jesus. Don't miss Jesus because of something disturbing you've been taught about Jesus. Here's what I mean by that. If you were raised in a Christian home, you were raised on a version of Christianity. If you were raised going to church, went to a church that taught a version of Christianity. There's so many versions of Christianity. If you went to a Christian elementary school or a Christian high school or even a Christian college, you were presented with a version of Christianity where you were taught certain things about Christianity and certain things about Jesus. And then you grew up. And in your mind, that's all there is. The version you were presented with is that's Christianity. And you grew up and you realize, okay, I'm not buying that. And I can't accept that. And I don't even believe that. And I don't think the world even works that way. That doesn't even fit with the world that I live in. And so you will be tempted to just throw the whole thing away and walk away. This is the story of so many people. So here's my challenge to you. You're an adult. Find out for yourself. Don't let childhood narratives or some of the things a pastor taught you or a youth pastor taught you or something you heard in a camp and you've just assumed that's what Christianity is all about. You have an opportunity to find out for yourself. And the challenge to you is to find a Bible, get your Bible, or download a Bible app and pick one of the four Gospels and find out for yourself, what was Jesus about? How did Jesus represent God? What did Jesus actually say? What did Jesus actually teach? And don't take anybody else's word for it. You're an adult and you don't have to. For example, there's a great example of this too, also in one of the narratives of Jesus. In the book of John, we're told that Jesus began assembling the 12 apostles. He began to put his team together for the first time. And while he was doing that, this happened. John records, and of course, John was one of Jesus' original 12 apostles. John writes, Jesus decided to leave Judea, that's in the south, and go to Galilee, which is in the north. And finding Philip, Philip had heard Jesus teach and was convinced that Jesus was the prophet, the ultimate prophet sent from God. He finds Philip and he says to him as he's leaving this region, Philip, I want you to follow me. Now, this wasn't like, let's take a walk. This was like, I want you to leave whatever else you're doing and I want you to be one of my guys. I want you to be on the inner circle, which was a huge deal. When a rabbi, especially a famous rabbi or a soon to become famous rabbi said to a young man, I want you to follow me. It meant I want you to leave what you're doing and I want you to learn to do what I do and ultimately potentially take my place. It was such an honor. So Philip is like, yes. Absolutely. I mean, of all the people in this crowd, you would choose me. But then he says, look, hey, before we go, I want to invite a friend. And apparently Jesus gave him permission. So Philip, you may have heard this before, Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, the great ultimate prophet that would come and, you know, prophesy and lead the nation. We found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth. And he's thinking Nathanael's gonna be like, whoa, you know. Nathanael's like, hang on. I attend synagogue and, you know, I don't remember everything they say, but I remember this. The great prophet, the great Messiah is gonna be born in the city of David, like Bethlehem, not Nazareth. Besides, listen to what he says. Besides Nazareth, can anything good come from there, Nathanael asked? I mean, he's just like not buying any of this. And I love Philip's response. Philip doesn't get in a Bible argument, doesn't get in a theological argument. He doesn't start arguing about where's the Messiah coming from and what does that text really mean. Philip simply offers and extends an invitation. Philip's like, hey, I was taught the same thing you were, but I want you to come and see. Philip, Nathanael, look, I can't argue with you. I can't convince you. I just want you to come and see. In other words, don't take my word for it. Don't take my word for it. Investigate for yourself. And Nathanael agrees to come along. And the point I'm trying to make is simply this. Be a Nathanael. See for yourself. You don't have to buy into and you don't have to believe everything you've been taught about Jesus, especially if what you believe about Jesus is an obstacle to pursuing Jesus. Find out for yourself. Nathanael meets Jesus and he concludes. Here's what he says. Rabbi, you're the Son of God. Now, there was a little incident before this I'm skipping. You can read for yourself, but something happens and he's like, whoa, you're the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. This is one of the first declarations of Jesus as King. And here's the thing. Nathanael almost missed Jesus. Nathanael almost missed Jesus because of a preposition. Jesus of Nazareth, two letters. He almost missed because of this word, or in Greek, it's apo. It's three letters. So don't miss Jesus based on secondhand information. You have an opportunity to read it for yourself. And for the person that says, Andy, I don't believe the Bible. We're gonna get to that in just a minute. I'm not asking you to read the Bible. I'm just saying be curious enough to read one of the accounts of the life of Jesus so you don't miss Jesus. Now, before I get to the next one, just kind of a side note, because I love this story so much. I so want us to be, and I so want us to continue to be a come and see church. A come and see and come sit with me church. I want us to continue to be a come and see community where people can come here, be amongst us, and they may not believe everything we believe, but there's something about us and there's something about you that's so special. In other words, that somehow our church and our churches would reflect the tone and the posture and the approach of Jesus, because the posture and the tone of a church, often determines how receptive a person is to the teaching of Jesus. And it's often the posture and the tone of a church that causes people to walk away from the church and ultimately to reject Jesus unnecessarily. And I love the fact that you have created that kind of environment at all of our churches, the posture, tone, and approach of Jesus. So this is what we're shooting for, because ultimately, and this is what happens sometimes, people come into one of our churches, they've got questions that we can't answer, they're skeptical because of bad church experiences, and there's something about being with you and worshiping with you that's attractive. Jesus was attractive everywhere he went. Everywhere he went, there was a crowd. So this is what we're trying to accomplish. And again, if you're not a Christian, if you've got questions you think we don't have answers to, I'm sure that we don't. But we hope that being with us, being where you are at whatever campus you attend, would feel as if this is different. If this in any way reflects the posture and the tone and the teaching of Jesus, then maybe I should be more curious and maybe I should discover it for myself. Third reason that people miss or dismiss Jesus. Don't miss Jesus. This is a tough one. Don't miss Jesus because of life. Don't miss Jesus because of what's going on in your life. And don't miss Jesus because of what's not going on in your life. And please don't dismiss Jesus because of what can't go on in your life. That's not reason enough. And I know this is gonna sound insensitive because I don't know what's going on in your life, but I know that's not reason enough to walk away or to dismiss Jesus. Another way of saying it is don't confuse Jesus with life. This is hard for us to get our minds around, but when you know anything about the environment that Jesus walked into, if you know anything about what was going on in the first century, especially in the area of Judea and Galilee, everybody except the wealthiest of the wealthy, everybody was just one bad financial decision, one failed crop away, or one undefended wall away from becoming a slave. Life was harsh to a level we can't even begin to imagine. Women were the property of their fathers and then the property of their husbands, traded, purchased, and then abandonment, betrayal, sickness, death, things that happened to children, things that happened in our society, but to a degree we can't even begin to imagine. And there was no recourse. There was no judicial system like we have today. Most people had no one to appeal to when they were treated unjustly. It was into that very world that Jesus stepped, and it was into that very world that his message offered hope. And so regardless of what you're going through, as bad as it might be, as indefensible as it might be in light of the fact that people like us say there's a good God in heaven, there is really no reason to necessarily dismiss Jesus or miss Jesus because of all of that. His life and his teaching, this is the thing, his life and his teaching take whatever you're going through into consideration, into account. It's why the oppressed and it's why the distressed flocked to Jesus. They flocked to him and followed him in spite of what life had thrown their way. In fact, they followed because of how hard and how harsh their life was. And besides that, and hopefully you've heard us say this before, Christians have never believed in a God that doesn't allow bad things to happen. Christians have always believed in a God who allowed the worst possible thing to happen to the best possible person. In other words, Jesus, our King, experienced the full measure of life at its worst. Injustice, tragedy, loss, abuse, those things don't stand in contrast to the teaching and the message of Jesus. They are actually baked in. And as you read through any of the four Gospels, you discover that God knows and God cares. And the reason you know that God cares is because as you read the Gospels, you discover that Jesus cared for people who were going through those very things. And then he said this. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you want to know what God is like, watch me. If you want to know what God is like, listen to me. If you want to know how God would respond, watch my response. And it's in the message and the life and the teaching of Jesus that we find the assurance we need that God does know and that God does care and that God does love you. And that even though he is often silent, he is not still. It is not a reflection of a lack of compassion, Because through the message and the teaching and the life of Jesus, we begin to understand in a sensitive and personal way that God is in fact a God of compassion. Besides that, and you may disagree with this, but just think about it. Apart from Jesus, apart from the worldview that Jesus presents to us in terms of who God is and what God is like, apart from Jesus, there is only pain without purpose. There's just tragedy without any redemption. There's ashes and no beauty. But with Jesus, as many of the people around you and many of the Christians you know have discovered, all of that changes. So please, don't allow what's going on in your life to cause you to miss or dismiss Jesus. Don't miss Jesus because of life. Number four, don't miss Jesus because of the Bible. This is a big one. People want to dismiss Jesus because of slavery in the Bible, misogyny in the Bible, apparent genocide in the Bible, old laws, harsh consequences. But the interesting thing is this, when you actually read the life of Jesus and follow Jesus through the Gospels, you discover what's reiterated is that the Old Testament law, the Torah, was a civil law given to ancient Israel. It was way ahead of its time, but it was for a time. And when Jesus came, he made it clear that the time for that was up, that he came to establish a brand new kind of relationship between God and the entire human race, that he came to establish a brand new covenant for all people, a brand new covenant that was far less complicated, but far more demanding, that when you follow Jesus through the Gospels, you discover that he redefines sin in such a way that it's evident that anything that's not good for you is a sin because God loves you. And anything that's not good for him is a sin because God loves him. And anything that's not good for her is a sin because God loves her. And anything that's not good for them is a sin because God loves them. And that suddenly the dignity of men, women, and children is elevated, that we're considered children of God. And just like you, just how you would feel toward anyone that hurt one of your children, so your heavenly Father feels toward those people or toward you when you hurt yourself. And suddenly the world is a different place and the world looks different because he established a brand new covenant with one overarching command. He said, here's my new command in my new kingdom, under my new covenant. Here it is. You are to love as I have loved you. That's it. There are no loopholes in love. When you're not sure what to say or do, you just simply do what love requires of you. That is the kingdom of God on earth. And when that shows up in a marriage, and when that shows up in a business, and when that shows up in a community, and when that shows up in a world or a nation, if that ever could take over the ethic of the world, the world would be a different place. But when it happens in a family, the family becomes different. The marriage becomes different. The school becomes different. The community becomes different. In fact, there are two or three things that Jesus taught. You'll discover them for yourself. There are two or three things that Jesus taught that if everybody just did those two or three things, you would feel the difference in our community and you would feel the difference in our world. And it's the simple things that Jesus taught that would ultimately make all the difference. And this is why we go back to this over and over. He said, it's not enough to listen. It's not enough to hear. It's not enough to believe. If you will put these things into practice, the world changes. One overarching command, to live and to love like the king. And the interesting thing is this, ancient Gentiles, first century and second century Gentiles, non-Jewish people who embraced Jesus, they were not tripped up at all over Old Testament law or over Torah. They understood that was for an ancient civilization. That was for ancient Israel. Someone new has come, something new has begun. Their faith centered on a person, the person of Jesus. And your faith and my faith should as well. And this is why, regardless of what you've experienced, regardless of what you've experienced, even in a faith system or even in church, there's no reason to dismiss or to miss Jesus. Or to say it another way, we have not been called or commanded to be biblical. We've been called and commanded to be Christ-like, to be like our King. And the reason perhaps you had a bad church experience, if that's the case, is because you were surrounded by some people perhaps who believed all the right things, but they did not behave like their king, but don't give up on the king because of some of his followers. So don't miss Jesus. Don't miss Jesus because of the Bible. Last one, I'll make this quick. Don't miss Jesus. This is super important because his disciples almost made this mistake. Don't miss Jesus because of the hard and harsh things that he said. Because some of the things that Jesus said, they're hard and they're hard. They're hard to understand, and on the surface, they come across harsh. Now, the interesting thing to me is his entire crew, all 12 of the apostles, one afternoon, they almost all abandoned Jesus because of one hard and harsh thing he taught. And at the end, right before they all bailed, Peter, the apostle Peter, asked this extraordinary question. I'm gonna read it to you in just a minute. And I think this is a question you might wanna write down. I think this is a question you need to kind of keep in your back pocket. This is the question that brings everything about Jesus back into focus, regardless of some of the hard things he taught and some of the harsh things he said. So here's what happened. Famous story, Jesus had just fed the 5,000. He'd done this massive public miracle, taken some few loaves of bread and fish and fed this crowd. He leaves to try to get away, have a break. The crowd, they want more. So they find Jesus. Jesus comes back out and they find him and they want another miracle. We want another sign. Really what they want, you read it for yourself and John, what they really want is some more free food. It's like, do that one again. Don't just do a miracle, do that miracle again. That was amazing. So Jesus decides to use the miracle of multiplying bread to make a point. And he makes this point. He claimed to be the bread from heaven. Just like this physical bread nourished your body, I'm the spiritual bread from heaven. I've come to nourish your soul. So he begins to talk in this figurative language, and it gets, honestly, it just gets a little weird, okay? Here's what he said. He said, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. It's like, wait, what? And he says, and I will raise them up at the last day of judgment. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Now, this is offensive to us. You can't even imagine how offensive this was to Galileans and Judeans who weren't even allowed to have the blood of an animal in their food. And here, this was just too much. So John is honest in his account. He says, I gotta tell you, I was there. On hearing it, many of his disciples, not the apostles, the general crowd that followed Jesus, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? We're like, no kidding. But so is love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And you know, not only do we not pray for the people who persecute us, we hardly even pray for our friends, but that's another sermon for another day. You know, pray for those who persecute you and forgive regardless. I mean, a lot of Jesus' teaching is hard and some of it comes across as harsh. And John tells us what happened. He said, from that day, because of that one sermon, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. They did what I don't want you to do. They missed Jesus because of something they misunderstood. They missed Jesus. They missed the king. They missed the Messiah. They missed the Son of God. From that point on, as the story continues, they're out of the picture. They missed Jesus because of something they misunderstood. And here's what happens next. As the crowd is leaving, the 12 apostles, Jesus' closest followers, they're thinking about leaving too. Because this is about to get hard. If we lose the crowd, we lose our cover. If we lose the crowd, we lose the momentum of this movement. If we lose the crowd, they're gonna think we're crazy to follow this guy. And Jesus knows what they're thinking. They're thinking about leaving too. So Jesus, I just picture him watching the crowd sort of from the back of the crowd starts to leave, the other people start to leave, the crowd starts to thin out. The apostles are trying to pay attention. They're like, oh, this is not going well. And Jesus turns to them. It's so great. And he says, hey, you don't want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Now, one thing they knew is you don't lie to Jesus. He knows everybody's heart. You know, he answered people's questions right before they asked them. They knew better. They'd seen this. You don't want to leave too, do you, Jesus asked. Nobody says a word. And Peter looks around and he thinks back. And here it is. Here's the question you just need to keep handy when it doesn't seem like it's worth it anymore and when it doesn't seem like it's working anymore. This is the question that will keep you from missing Jesus. Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Yeah, this is hard. Yeah, this is rough. Yeah, we have no idea what you're talking about. And yeah, we're losing the crowd. And yeah, this isn't going the way we thought it would. But if not you, who? Here's our version. To whom shall I go? To whom shall I go? If not Jesus, who? In fact, let's say that out loud together. Would you read this with me? To whom shall I go? That's the question you ask before you miss or dismiss Jesus. Here's the rest of the statement. Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Nobody else is talking about that. Nobody else has explained the Father the way that you have. No one has demonstrated the kind of compassion that you have. I mean, you have words of eternal life, and we've heard too much. We believe, and we've seen too much. We've come to know that you are, in fact, the Holy One of God. We've seen too much. We've heard so much, too much. So you're stuck with us, and we're stuck with you. We're not leaving. But later, they would. On the night of his arrest, they're out. It's too much. We didn't understand some of the stuff you said. The parables quit making sense about, you know, 6 months ago, and now you've been arrested. None of this is working out the way we thought it would. We are so confused. We feel so misled. We feel so used, and we're so afraid, and they all bailed on Jesus. And do you know what brought them back? This is so important. Please listen. Do you know what brought them back? Not their ability to sort out everything Jesus taught, and not their ability to explain all the parables, and not their ability to figure out what in the world he was talking about every time he opened his mouth. What brought them back was an event, the resurrection of their rabbi. This is why I will continue to do everything in my power to tether your faith to the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus is what launched the movement that eventually brought us our Bible 300 plus years later. The resurrection of Jesus is the event that launched the movement, the church that eventually brought us the Bible. And here's the thing, if Jesus rose from the dead, then you can navigate a bad church experience. If Jesus rose from the dead, you can navigate corrupt church leaders. If Jesus rose from the dead, now you have a context for injustice in the world. If Jesus rose from the dead after being murdered on a cross, then you understand that God has compassion on those who face injustice in the world, just like he had compassion on your king. And your king understands. He understands your temptation. He understands your heartbreak. And you are invited into that grace, and you are invited into that compassion. If he rose from the dead, he's who he claimed to be, your king. So don't miss Jesus. Follow him. Learn to love like him. Learn to forgive like him. Learn to do for others like him. Learn to take people's stories into account before you judge them like him. And why not? Because in the end, following Jesus will in fact make you better, and will make you better at everything you do. And maybe in the end, if your curiosity gets the best of you, if you're willing to explore, if you're willing to get your own answers and not trust what everybody else has told you growing up, if you'll do the work, and it's not that much work, then over time, as you follow, you may, in fact, come to the conclusion that he is exactly who he claimed to be, your savior and your king. But please don't miss Jesus. And there are two other things you can't afford to miss, which means you can't miss next week. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, it's easy to stand up here and talk about. I pray that our curiosity would get the best of us, and we would go to look for ourselves. And Father, for the person who's been away from faith so long, they don't know where a Bible is, it's been so long, just give them the courage to take a step. And for all of us who are wrestling with faith, or who will wrestle with our faith in the future, I pray that we would never, ever, ever walk away from the Savior, never walk away from our King. So give us wisdom to know what to do with what we just heard. And please give us the courage to do it. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.